Years ago, before she passed, Ruth Graham was asked about being married to Billy Graham all those years, with him being gone days, sometimes weeks at a time. And she was asked the question, have you ever thought about divorcing Billy? And quickly she answered and said, oh, absolutely not, never. She said, I thought about murder a couple times, however. I thought that kind of sums up marriage, doesn't it? We ran out of time last week, and a lot of the guys told me they felt kind of beat up on last week. So I'm preaching from the same passage tonight, but tonight I'm going to beat up on the guys. When my son was about 8 years old, my second son, how many sons do I have? I've got two. My second son came to me, he's about 8 years old. He said, Dad, I figured out who the boss of our house is. I was like, really? Who is it? He goes, it's you. I said, well, that's very good, buddy. Tell Dad how you figured that out. He said, because you can tell all of us what to do, and Mama can only tell you what to do. So in Colossians chapter 3, honestly, I appreciate the emails, especially those that said the sermon was awesome. That was this guy right here in the front. Thank you. There was only one. There were some critical emails saying, I'm not sure about all this. And then there were some emails just about, can you explain that a little more? And I appreciate you saying a little more than better. And so, we don't always get this chance. You know, Pastor Steve and I we're both preaching through the book of Colossians. But because of Easter and Palm Sunday and various Sundays, I'm a chapter ahead, so I have a little leeway. And I just kind of want to revisit what we talked about last week, hopefully with more clarity, and that I'll explain it more or better, whichever it is, because this is crucial. And I thought about this last week, because you usually don't get to preach a sermon twice. 2 weeks in a row. And you always think about the things you wish you had said. And I wish I had said last week, the reason that marriage is so important is because it's a picture of the gospel. The reason that marriage is so important is because it is so difficult, whether you're a Christian or not. Those who are not Christians struggle in marriage, and those who are Christians struggle in marriage. The difference is those of us who are followers of Jesus have great instructions on how God wants us to do marriage. You see, my struggles in marriage, other than my wife, my struggles in marriage are because I want to do it my way, right? I want to say what I want to say when I want to say it. Sometimes there are things God wants me to say, and I refuse to say them. Anybody else? You can raise your hand. Let me know I'm in this. We're in this. Okay, seven people. Wow. Apparently the rest of you should be preaching about marriage tonight. It's difficult, but it's important because it's a picture of the gospel. It's important because it's one of the evidences of the faith that God uses. The people will see Christian couples, not without struggle, but getting through the struggle. Amen? Are y'all tired? I mean, that was a super place for an amen. Not Christian couples who, not that they struggle, but they get through the struggle. Amen. That was very forced. So let's just start in Colossians 3:18, one of my favorite verses. I knew there'd be a delayed laugh because it'd take everybody a second to look down and actually read it. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Every once in a while, I'll do a wedding, and I'll get one request from the bride. You may guess what that is. They do not want to say, "I will submit," like in their vows, right? Raise your hand, guys, if you're single. Raise them high, because there's some single ladies looking. All right. If you are dating a girl, and it's getting kind of where you're talking marriage, and she just says flippantly or with great veracity, which I don't know if that's a word, it should be, it sounds awesome, that she will not say, "I'll submit on my wedding day," I just have one thing to say to you. Run. Because she won't. She will not. And what, and, you know, and there are a couple of the emails, the more positive emails I got from last week's sermon were how I explained the whole submission thing. And how many of you were here last Wednesday night? Okay, all right. I didn't want to single out anybody that wasn't, but for those of you that weren't, this idea of submission, wives are being asked to submit to spiritual leadership. Not just any old leadership, but spiritual leadership, right? And so when that soon-to-be bride says, "I don't want to say submit in my wedding," my fear isn't that she's not going to be a good wife or she's not going to be a helpmate. That's not my fear. You see, wives are asked to submit to their husbands as is pleasing to the Lord. So at the heart of submitting to your husband is what? Is it the husband's happiness? Come on, you don't care if he's happy, right? That's not the centerpiece of submission. The centerpiece is the pleasure of God, that it pleases Him. So it doesn't bother me if a bride's thinking, "I'm not going to do everything he says," because I would agree with that. My concern is, why is there not a desire to please the Lord? Now, wait. Several of you are getting ready to stand up and say something. Because a lot of us want to, in marriage, we just want to say what we want, when we want, right? But the Bible said, "Wives, submit to your husbands. This is pleasing to the Lord." And my deeper concern is not that this is a woman unconcerned with her husband's happiness, but a woman who there's some kind of disconnect with pleasing God. You know, now how many of us are guilty of wanting to please God in our own way? Get them up. Come on. Thank you. Now I just want to please God in my own way. It's like, "God, I'm going to do something. It's going to bring you such glory. It's going to be awesome. God, you know, like he's going to be surprised. Oh, I can't wait to see, this is so exciting." Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. It brings God pleasure that a wife would submit to her husband, but that's coupled with something. That submission is coupled with, I'm going to just leave things hanging like this to know if I'm being clear. That wife's submission is coupled with what? What? Spiritual leadership from the man. And guess what? That is also pleasing to the Lord. Right? Oh, I thought that was the big moment I had written down. That was it. It's downhill from here. All right? That was the big moment. That husband has to be leading spiritually, okay? So how many of us agree that's enough about wives submitting to your husbands? Those are all the women I warned you about. Then he says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. We spent a lot of time on this last week. A lot of time. Because we can just be so harsh, can't we? Can't we? I hear all the women agreeing. The men are being quiet. Man, we can just be harsh. It's like it's our default mode, right? I mean, it's like, you know, I'll get home and, you know, I've just had a tough and crazy day. And I walk in the door. And, you know, my wife's like, oh, I'm glad you're home. It's been such a tough day. And I'm like, well, my day was tough, too. Like somehow what I heard her say was, your day wasn't tough. Mine was. But it's not what she said, right? Wow. A lot of my wife's fans are here tonight. Welcome. Take notes. And so, you know, I'll walk in. She's like, I'm glad you're home. I've had such a tough day. And I'm like, well, I've had a tough day too. And that harshness, guess what that brings out of her? Not humility. Brings out harshness. And she'll look at me and say, oh, well, what's a hard day for you? Did your chair not swivel all the way around? You sit in the office all, you know? And it's aggravating because I've asked him to fix that chair 3 or 4 times. But it can be our default mode just to be harsh, right? My wife will say, do something with the kids. They're driving me crazy. And I just look at her and I'm like, well, it's a short drive. Husbands, love your wives. And do not be harsh with them. So when I meet with a couple in my office, and the guy's sitting there saying, man, she's hard to live with. You don't even understand, man. All she does is yell and scream all the time. I usually guess that that's his harshness coming out of her. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's how it usually happens. Harshness begets harshness, doesn't it? Or is it begat? Harshness. Harshness leads to harshness, right? You see, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And that's what it does. And so the Bible says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And so what does that look like, not being harsh? What does it look like? Well, what's the opposite of harsh? A lot of words. I'm hearing. Now, this guy right here on the front row. This is a gigantic man. And he said, say it again. No, say it the way you said it the first time. Okay, he said, no, I'm not saying it again. Yeah, the opposite of harshness is gentleness, isn't it? To be gentle. And it's funny because when you preach a sermon like this, you can look through the crowd and you can tell what guys are harsh because their wives are laughing. Not at the harsh part, because that's true. They're laughing at the gentle part. Like, I can't even imagine him being gentle. But I want to be really specific. All right? Because some of you guys may be thinking, okay, I don't know why I always use that voice when I'm talking about, but does it sound like him? Okay, that's why. So some guys are thinking tonight, okay, so, all right, how do I be gentle instead of harsh? Somebody's getting a kick out of this one. I mean, how do you be gentle? How do you do that? How do you harness the harshness? That could be a book. Harnessing the... Okay, so anyway. How do you harness the harshness? I mean, how do you grab it? The Bible says to take every thought captive. Amen. Take every thought captive, right? Because before I say the words, I think the words, right? Now, guys, this is for you. I don't know why the women are writing ferociously. This is for you. Oh, they're writing for their husbands. I'm taking notes. Don't worry. Y'all, you'll get this. take that thought captive, right? Stop just for a moment. You know, I'm coming home and I'm looking for sympathy and compassion because it's been a tough day. And I walk in and I was like, oh, it's been such a tough day. And she goes, oh, well, my day's been really tough too. And I grab that, right? And I'm just telling you what you should do. I'm telling you, I fail in this area. To take those thoughts captive, right? To not interpret her words. Here's the thing about my wife. I don't know about yours. My wife just says what she means. She just says what she means. But I'm always interpreting what she's saying, right? Because she'll say, I'm not happy. And I'm like, so, you're not happy with me. And she's like, I didn't say that. But, you know, that's what I do. You know, we interpret. But to take those thought captives, to not be harsh, but to be gentle and to be kind. I always love the story. Tommy Nelson talked about meeting with a couple and he's meeting with them and the man's just, he's rugged and he's tough and he's mean. And at some point in his, you know, because he had, you know, he had the problem down. What was wrong in their marriage? And here's the problem. And of course it was her, according to him. And she just cries and she says, I want one thing. And Tommy Nelson said, what do you want? She said, I want him to treat me like the Denny's waitress. And the pastor said, why? And she said, because he's always kind to her. To be kind. So husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. Don't be mean. I mean, you know, take those thoughts captive. Think about what you're going to say. And if there's any questionable content, then think about why are you going to say that? Husbands, love your wives. And as I told you that marriage is a picture of the gospel, you know, husbands that are love their wives in a way that Christ loved the church. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. And how did Christ demonstrate his love for the church? He died. That's how he demonstrated his love for the church. That whatever Jesus wanted, right? And we can kind of come to understand from the Garden of Gethsemane. Everybody remember the Garden of Gethsemane? It's a real significant moment in the life of Jesus when he prayed, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup be taken away from me. Let it pass, right? Meaning Jesus was saying, if we can do this some other way, let's do it. But there was no other way. Jesus had to die. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. That you die. What's your opinion worth? It's really quiet right now. What rights do you have? The Bible says your life doesn't belong to you. If you're a follower of Jesus, your life doesn't belong to you. It's not yours anymore. It belongs to him. You belong to him. So husbands, love your wives the way that Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. And he offered her up as a radiant bride. And so, that is very much likened to marriage and the expectations that God has for marriage. And here's what's tough about it, guys. Usually when we are missing our role as the husband, you are always missing your role as father. Everybody look at me. The scariest thing a woman tells me in my office about her husband is this. He's a good dad. It's scary when a woman says that. It's scary. Because she can't say anything else. She can't talk about what kind of husband he is. Notice she doesn't even necessarily say he's a good man. She just says he's a good dad. And dads feel good because they come home and play with the kids for 10 to 15 minutes, right? Or help with the homework a little bit or do some dad kind of things. But if you are failing as a husband, there's no way you're succeeding as a father. Because the greatest thing you can give your children, now this is for the men and the women, everybody hear this. The greatest thing you can give your children is a great marriage. And you know what's sad? And I don't know if it happens in other cultures, but definitely here in America, I mean, what's happening with the family is tragic. And what's happening with the family, even among Christians, is tragic because in many of our Christian homes, we make idols out of our children, thinking we're giving them the best when our marriages are falling apart because we're idolizing the kids. The most important thing that you guys can give your kids is a great marriage. And that means, ladies, that your husband has to come before the children. And that means, guys, your wife must come before your work, right? Husbands, love your wives. And don't be harsh with them. And if somehow God moves tonight in a man's heart, and I pray that that's what the altar becomes tonight, is men broken over how our harshness has so made a mess of our homes. And that God would break our hearts tonight and break that harshness that's in our lives. So one person asked me last week, what if I've been harsh? What do I do? It's a great question. It's an honest question. It's a vulnerable question. What do you do if you've been harsh? Maybe you've been married for a year and you've been harsh. Maybe you've been married for 5 years and you've been harsh. Maybe somebody put up with you for 2 or 3 decades and you've been harsh. What do you do? Well, first is this. You have to square that with God, don't you? Because my sin is first always an offense to God. And so I have to make that right with him. That's why I pray for men to be at the altar tonight, to make that right, to say, Lord, help me, because I have been exactly what you said not to be. You've asked me to love my wife, not to be harsh to her, but I've been harsh. And you ask God to forgive you. And I tell you this with all confidence, that if you boldly approach his throne and you ask for forgiveness for your harshness to your wife, to your children, to whomever it is, God will forgive you. And you're forgiven, but then there's a second thing you must do. You must go to her and ask her to forgive you for your harshness. And if she is a Colossians 3:18 woman, she will forgive your harshness. She will. She might become easier to live with if you become easier to live with. And the expectations, now listen, and this is no, I'm about to say something, and I can all, you know, I'm already feeling how it could go very wrong. So I may have to say a few things. It is clearly up to the husband to make sure that he is not harsh and that his home is a place of peace. It is up to him. That is on his shoulders. Now, my thought is, right now there's some women sitting there saying, that's right. You preach it, Pastor Jamie. I knew you were my favorite. But ladies, I'll remind you, submit to your husband as is fitting to the Lord. So if tonight he begs for your forgiveness with tears in his eyes, and maybe you've seen those tears before and you are no longer moved by them. Do you know what I'm saying? What do? Ladies, you forgive him. It's because he's a great guy. Is it because he really means it this time? Well, then why? Because it is pleasing to God. And you can look at him and you can forgive him. And whether he's sincere or not, God will deal with him. Listen. Oh, I wasn't even done yet. You won't be able to contain yourself. Let me tell you how God will deal with him. God will deal with him harshly. That's how God will deal with him. God will break his heart one way or the other at some point. And so, wives, you submit to his spiritual leadership. There's no spiritual leadership coming out of him. Just do what God wants you to do. Trust God. He'll lead you and guide you, even if your husband will not spiritually lead in your house. God will lead you. He will guide you. But guys, I'm telling you, he will deal harshly with us. He will break us. Oh, he will. And I know some of you are thinking, ain't going to break me. He'll break you. He'll do it. And that's why we preach messages like this. And we plead and we beg. Because I know this about God. The Bible says that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. No matter what it takes, he will do it. He will do it. And if you have to go down the broken road to see the face of God, he will take you down the broken road. He will take you there. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Notice again, he says to the wife, if you do this, it is pleasing to me. And he says to the children, obey your parents because it is pleasing to me. And he says to the husband, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Now, we're going to deal next week with the rest of this passage, but I wanted to come back to this because there's this incredible thing that we have to take note of. So if the wife submits to the spiritual leadership of her husband, the Bible said it is pleasing to the Lord, right? That his favor shines on her. That he's going to take care of her. He's going to protect her from your harshness. He will protect her. Children, obey your parents because guess what? This is pleasing to God. And that means if you do that, his favor is shining on you and that he is pleased. It's a powerful thing. In both of the places to the men, in neither place does it say do what you're supposed to do because it's pleasing to the Lord. Now, I believe it's purposeful, but not because it's not pleasing to the Lord, but for this reason. There are heavy, heavy consequences if we will not be the fathers and the husbands that God is calling us to be. I mean, you can read it. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. I can already feel some of you saying, and maybe it's not even the men, maybe it's the mothers who are saying, I know my children, they're already discouraged. Fathers, don't embitter your children. They will become discouraged. And what's the opposite of discouraged? What do we want our children to be? Encouraged, and I would say even more specifically, hopeful. That they will be hopeful. That God's word is true. Because it means something in the lives of their mother and their father. This is a powerful thing. I want you to know, as one of your pastors, and any pastor here tonight can tell you this, but all over this city, there are families that are hurting. Filled in this congregation are families that are hurting, marriages that are suffering. And I certainly do not pretend to stand before you tonight with all the answers. But I can tell you that we better be on our knees before the one who can bring peace in the midst of the storm. To the one that can heal anything, no matter how broken you think it is, he can fix anything. He can fix anything. And I think part of our children not being discouraged is they see us turning to the Lord over and over and over. All that tonight, some of you guys, for the first time, you would pray with your family. That you would pray with those children. I always try to pray with Sam on the way to school. And I can't remember if it was this morning or yesterday. I was just thinking about a lot of things and I didn't pray. And we pull up to the school and he doesn't get out. And I look at him and I'm like, hello, we're here. And he goes, you're going to pray? I was just getting ready to. But I'm glad that's what he was expecting. Rather than some smart aleck comment about his day. Or his grades. Or the quality of his work. He was just expecting me to pray. Oh, that we would be those kinds of husbands and fathers. We're going to have a time of altar, and I want to invite you to come. Women, there should be a deep desire in your heart to submit to the spiritual leadership of your husband. If that desire is not there, it's because something is wrong in your relationship with Christ. And I would urge you, as equally as I have urged the men, to come to this altar tonight and to pray for God to put that desire in your heart. I pray for those of you that aren't married. Oh, I pray that God's hand be on you. And that God give you wisdom and discernment because you can be fooled. But that God would speak to your heart. Because I'm telling you, girls, if you're with a guy right now who has no desire to follow the Lord, please don't count on that ever changing. And marry him hoping that it will. And if you're a godly guy and she pretty much all you can say about her is that she's hot, I promise you she will not be hot one day. And there better be something deeper than that or you will be sorely disappointed. I heard a guy say when I was in college and he said his advice about dating was, forget about dating. Just run towards Jesus as fast as you can. And one day while you're running to Jesus, you'll look over and there'll be somebody else running right beside you. That's the one you want. So forget about dating. Just run to Jesus. Young couples or young single people ask me all the time that one question. You know the question. They want to know how I knew that my wife was the one. How did you know she was the one? And the answer is so simple. It's because I married her that she's the one. Run to, if you're single, run to Jesus as fast as you can. And I'm going to say for many of you in here, if you start that tonight and you run to Jesus as fast as you can, chances are you're going to leave behind the person you're with now because they're not going to do it. And that may be, they may be fun to date, but it'll be a short, miserable marriage. Jesus, we come to you. And Lord, we come to you, and all we can do is trust you. I pray for men who are battling with harshness. Oh, Jesus, I pray you fill them with a spirit of gentility, with a spirit of kindness. Lord, I pray that you break the chains of that harshness, of that bitterness. Father, I pray for men who will stand up and lead their home spiritually. Men who will pray with their children. For men who will be the men that you called them to be. And Lord, I pray for women, Lord, that they have a desire in their heart to submit to spiritual leadership. And for those women tonight that bristle against even the thought of that, God, that you would change their heart. Because it's pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray for those that are single. Lord Jesus, I pray they are sprinting to you as fast as they can go. And they leave everything else and they just go for you. Father, Lord Jesus, I pray you protect them. Give them wisdom. Give them discernment. I pray for our children who have seen some good things and have seen some tough things. They've seen some examples of righteousness and a lot of examples of unrighteousness. Oh, Lord, give them discernment. Heal their little hearts, Father, so that they will know what the truth is, so that our sons will know what kind of men you want them to be, so that our daughters will know what kind of women you want them to be. Oh, Lord, I pray you move here tonight. As only you can. It's in the precious, powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. This altar is open. Please come.